now more than ever, I was on a prayer walk a couple few months early in the summer, and I just felt an urgency rise up in my spirit. I've always felt an urgency, which is why I feel compelled to want to be a part of this ministry. But I feel such a greater sense of urgency. It was just like the Lord was just saying, the time is now. The time is now. Moms, we have got to engraft. We have got to be engrafted in the vine. We ourselves. I'm going to preach to you a lot this session. I'm going to preach about our kids. But this is going to be so much more of a personal 9-10 weeks. Engrafted in, rooted deep. You cannot feed your children something you are not yourself feeding off of. It's time, moms. It is time. Do you see the news? Do you see the media? Do you see what's pervading into our schools and into our culture? The time is now. We must be engrafted. And listen, engrafting, we're going to talk about that. Engrafting is not something that you or I do. We take the steps, but it is the Lord that engrafts us in. Listen, this is a good picture. It's like a burn. Has anybody ever had a burn? I remember, my sister remembers, I think I was like fourth grade. I remember I got behind a motorcycle exhaust. And right here, it just melted those two layers of skin. It's just a burn. And that burn cannot do anything to fix itself, right? It can't do anything to fix itself. A doctor has to go and find healthy skin. And he then has to engraft that healthy skin onto the burned skin. To engraft something means to take something from one place and place it into another, firmly establishing it. Think about Jesus. Isn't that exactly what he did for us? And we're going to talk about this a lot next week, but I just want to go into this just a little bit. Our hearts are that burned skin, mamas. We are hurt. We're vulnerable. And we need a doctor. We need a great physician to help us, to fix us, to apply something. So guess what happened? Jesus himself hung on a cross. He took on flesh, and guess what? His blood is waiting on us to be applied to every charred, vulnerable, hurting area of our flesh. We can't fix those charred places ourselves. We must call on the doctor to engraft the only protection, which is his blood. And then he firmly establishes himself as the guard of our hearts. That's engrafting. And at some point, moms, you can't do it for your kids. At some point, your kids have to believe they're burned and they're charred and they're hurt, and I need somebody to fix me. And they too have to ask and receive that blood. And guess what? God will engraft himself and he will apply his blood. Engrafting is something only God can do. But guess what we get to do? We get to root them. We get 18 years. Y'all, I have a 14-year-old, almost 15. I'm almost done with that one. I get 18 years with my children to root them, not make sure they have the best grades, they go to the best schools, they get the best prom queen or the best preschool character award. Who cares? Man, that stuff is great. I'm not taken away from it. But 18 years to root them firmly in the foundation of who Jesus is and who Jesus says they are, so that when they are released, just like an arrow, I talk about that all the time, just like an arrow is released, they will hit their mark. How God decides to steer them is not up to me. But if I've done my job in rooting them, I can let them out of my quiver with confidence, knowing that they are on a mission, and I have done all I can do to root them in Christ, engrafting in His job. Rooting them is a privilege that we get to do. Romans 11, 17. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off, and you Gentiles who were branches from a wild olive tree have been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. Once we receive this free gift, we are engrafted in. James 1:21 from the good old King James Version of the Bible. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I love that word. Do y'all still use that word when you're talking to your children? You're being naughty. I happen to say you're being a turd, but I like naughtiness better. Naughtiness, and receive with meekness, listen, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Mamas, who is the word? Come on, who is the word? The engrafted word, John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Listen, and the word was God. Jesus is the only thing that is able to engraft and save our souls. There is a remedy for our sin nature. Praise God. Colossians 2, verse 6 through 7. It is our theme verse. You will hear this repeated. I hope you memorize it. I stink at memorization. I'm just going to tell you, I stink at it. I can tell you, I can quote a lot of scripture. I have no idea the whole thing. I can quote parts of it, but I can't figure out where it's at. I stink at it. So some of you really smart people are going to know this verse by the end of this session. This is our theme verse. And all of my teachings are going to flow. Everything is going to flow out of this verse. And now, listen, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, not mama's Lord, not daddy's, not the youth groups or the Christian school. Do you know him as your Lord? You must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. I say this every session, but this is going to be the most powerful session yet. And you know why? Because Jesus and his mercies are new every morning. Guess what? It's a new day. So this session is going to be more powerful than the last session because God makes all things new. We talked about circling prayer. We called our leaders to rest. We called you as well to rest and trust that the prayers we are praying over our babies are doing something. And I just believe we're building, this session is building upon last session as we're going to talk about rooting and foundations. And today, I want to do what I do every session. I was on a plane coming home from California this summer, or not actually, about 3 weeks ago. I threw a whole big old Holy Ghost wrench in Sarah, her schedule. We already had everything scheduled out, and I text her, and when I get off the plane, I said, guess what? I'm not teaching what I said I was teaching on the first day. She just lovingly, I told her, I said, you can cuss me. I know. It's okay. You can call me a turd, but blame it on Jesus because it's Jesus. Hey, if there's a number up here, by the way, that means your baby needs you. And Lauren said she was not going to call you unless she really needed you, so if that's you, go get it. Go get them. And my job after I'm done teaching is to grab any baby. So you will see me with babies. So if I've got your baby, I have three. I'm okay. I love them. I love loving on the babies. But I was on the plane to California, and I said, Sarah, I have to change it. I can't teach what I said I was going to teach. God's changed it all up. So today, I'm going to do what I do every session. I'm going to charge us with something. And the Holy Spirit always charges me with it before I deliver it to you. I get the spiritual spanking. I get the talking to before I ever deliver it to you. And today, I want to light a fire under us. I want to light a fire under us. Now, some of you are here for the first time. You have never seen me. Please come back. Please. I will tell you, I am not soft. I am not going to tell you to go home in your bed and eat bonbons and let your kids fend for themselves. I'm not going to tell you deserve a break today. I'm going to tell you to get off the sidelines. I'm going to motivate you, Mama, because God has motivated me. I want to put a fire under you to mother the hearts of your children. I am passionate. I am full of zeal. I am not soft, and I hope I don't offend anyone. Send Sarah an email if I do. I love Jesus, and I'm passionate about mothering, but my message is not a soft message because I don't think the times that we live in require us to sit back on our heels, do you? There's an urgency that God is calling mothers to, so I am passionately wanting to light a fire. You have been brought here, some of you the first time. Some of you think your friend brought you here. Let me tell you, she did not. We have something that we call a target mom. We have a whole really cute video about it. Some of you are the person sitting next to you's target mom. The Holy Spirit has brought you here. The Holy Spirit has brought you here. That friend was just an extension of him. Jesus loves you so much that he wants you to hear his word. He loves your children so much that he wants to wake us up. He wants to wake you up and say, look at what you have in your home. Look at the privilege you have in your home. Will you passionately impart me to them? Some of you are listening by podcast, some at satellites. So today I want to go ahead and I want to disarm something that's going to happen. I am all about exposing stuff. I don't like white elephants in the room. I like everything right out in the open. So we're going to go ahead and do that today with this charge. Let me tell you something. We're going to disarm all the ways that the enemy is going to come and try to keep you from getting here on Thursday mornings. We're going to go ahead and call him out. I want to go ahead and warn you and tell you, and please come back. But listen, it's going to be a fight to get here. How many of you was it a fight to get here today? It is not because of anything that of me or moms with swords, but the enemy is going to come after you because of what God is going to impart to you at Moms with Swords. He's coming. Expect it. Be ready for it. Listen, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Why do we worry about anything? The Bible has told us. We're all freaking out about the times and the world we live in. The Bible has already told us that it's going to get bad. Look, the Bible has already called Satan out. Why are we so surprised? Look, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. He's exposed. He's trying to get an advantage of us. But let's just call him for what he is. Sarah, I've been talking about her a lot today. Sarah, you've just been in my message all day. The week registration was going to open. Y'all know those little forms you had to fill out, that all those little boxes? Somebody had to do all that, and that would be Sarah. She is the brain behind Moms with Swords. She's the think tank. The week that registration was open, it's a go week for her. Guess what? Two of her three kids got sick. One of her kids contracted poison ivy. Do you think that is just a happenstance? The Wednesday before our Thursday, we have a training day for all of our workers back there and all of our huddle leaders and all of us. We train the ministry, the the resource table people, and we train the merchandise people. We train everybody. So the Wednesday before that Thursday, I always give a charge to my leaders. I just want to just charge us with something to go forth and just pour into y'all so that you can then pour into your kids. It's just a overflowing effect. I had this word that God had given me. Guess what? Wednesday. John William is at the nurse's office. I think he has strep throat. Really? I am not ignorant to your schemes, devil. Let me tell you something, Mom. Get here. Call his bluff and get here. Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite, I love his quotes. He says, "The preaching of Christ is like the thunderbolt, the sound of which makes all of hell shake." Let me tell you something. I am not going to preach anything other than Jesus. And I pray every demon shakes because of your child. Some of you have heard me say this, but I love this analogy. Look, I've got one in Christian school this year, and it's kind of strange. I never thought that would happen to us. My high schooler is at a Christian school, but I still believe this thing that the Lord told me is still true for her. I've got two in public and one in private. But listen, no matter where your kids go, school or wherever they're going, let me tell you what I believe happens because of what you are as a mama going to do to your children, in your children. I believe every demon of hell, when my children walk through the doors of their public school, I think every demon of hell says, "Not the Chambly children." The preaching of Christ is like a thunderbolt. And it makes all of hell shake. Look, I am passionate about making demons flee. I will come to your house. I have come to many of your houses. And we have prayed over beds of children. We have circled marriages. I am all about warring off the enemy because I know he's coming. Why do you think Sunday mornings for church is so hard? Do you think it's just because your husband is sitting on the couch while you're doing the three children and yourself? Oh, yeah, mine is on this game, Clash of Clans, on his phone. I'm trying to get myself ready. Now, my teenagers, preteen and teenager, can get themselves ready. But John William, you know, have you fed him breakfast? Oh, no, let me go do that. Yeah, you think you might. It's not because your husband is putting all the work on you. No, the devil does not want you to get here. Get here, Mom. Get here. I want to motivate you. That's what I want to do. I want to motivate you. Do you know what motivate means? I'm a definition guru. I love definitions. Motivate, to provide with an incentive or a reason for doing something. To impel, to cause, to be enthusiastic. We get to be a mom. We get to be an aunt or a grandmother. We get to. We don't have to. We get to. And I want to motivate you. I want to make you enthusiastic about that. I want you to go today when you pick up your kids and they get in the car and you're like, "Yay, you're home." Because most of the time you're like, "Oh." Believe me, oh my Lord, my little, oh, I love my little prince, but man, that mouth. So I like it when he goes to bed. So, but today I'm going to be so happy when he gets home. It's the greatest privilege, y'all. Mothering is the greatest privilege. Listen to the definition of mothering. The nurturing and raising of a child by a mother. And this is the one reason I believe Moms with Swords was birthed. Is to ignite a passion for you to do just that. We have too many mothers that birth their children, and that's it. We are called to nurture and to raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We get to do that, and this reason alone is why it is going to be a fight. To get here. The time is now, Mom. The time is now. God needs mothers who take mothering seriously. That we take nurturing our children's hearts seriously. That we don't leave it to the Christian school or the great, great youth group or the wonderful, precious preschool. Those are all supplements. You are the feeder of the word to your babies. You are the feeder. You get to feed them. This generation needs fierce mothers. This generation needs unafraid mothers, relentless mothers, persevering mothers. Are you motivated yet? If you have your Bible, this is really your charge. Deuteronomy 6. It will be on the screens, so you don't have to bring a Bible. I know it's just one more thing you got to, so feel released. You don't have to bring a Bible. Sweet Anne will always have it on the screens for you. We're talking about rooting in foundations this session, and this to me is, you cannot get more foundational than this. Now, I'm going to get a little bit Beth Moore on you, so hang with me. Lori would probably do this a lot better, but this portion of scripture in Deuteronomy 6 is known amongst the Jews as the Shema, S-H-E-M-A. And it means to hear. In the Jewish culture, you see, they would read portions of the law twice a day. And they would not only read it, but they would read it out loud. It was, this Deuteronomy 6 was the creed of the Jews. This is foundational right here. And listen, one commentary that I researched said this, and I loved this, and it's so applicable. They believed in the Jewish culture that reading this twice a day, reading the law twice a day out loud, would arm them against all idolatry. They believed in the power of the spoken word of God. Listen, I had a mom come up to me a couple sessions ago. I mean, golly, I've got chill bumps from head to toe. And she said, for the first time ever, I prayed out loud with my child. I could retire right now. There is no condemnation. Listen, don't you let the devil condemn you. But let me tell you something. I pray the Holy Spirit convicts you to act. If you've never prayed out loud with your child, you don't have to be Beth Moore. All you've got to do is say the word of God over your child. Do you know the power that comes from that? There is power in the spoken word of God. There is power in the word of God. And the Jewish people knew it. And they believed it would arm them. Let me tell you something. You know what arms your baby best? Because lots of you have to leave your children at dance and soccer and football and school. You have to let, and guess what? You're not with them, right? But guess what is with them? The word of God. And he is God. And it protects him better than any mama ever could. We're going to be talking about these foundations and roots, but you cannot get more foundational than this verse. The commandment in verse 5, Jesus repeats it 4 times in the New Testament. I think he thought it was important. I want us to read it out loud together because we believe there's power in the spoken word of God. Let's read Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4 together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress, if you have a Bible, I want you to underline that word. Impress them to on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. They would repeat this twice a day because they believed there was power in the spoken word of God and they believed that it would arm them. This is foundationally, you cannot get more foundational than this verse. Is this the foundation that your home is built upon, Mom? Do you believe that the Lord our God, the Lord is one? In a world that's telling us there's so many ways to God, there's so many gods, you can get to him through here. Do you believe that? Because you cannot go anywhere if you don't believe that, if you cannot answer that question. The Lord, that is Jehovah, that is the Jewish reference of God. The Lord, Jehovah is God. There is no one else. The Lord had me write this portion of scripture out and kind of make it tailored to my family. Some of you have a family creed, a family mission statement. And again, if you don't, it's okay. That's why you're here. Because you can start today. But God said, Joy, I want you to kind of write this. And as I was flying home from California, I kind of heard him tell me the Chambly family creed. And I've spoken this in our home several times. I've taught it to my children. And so I just am going to tell you my version of this portion of scripture, the Shema. I'm just going to tell you what the Lord gave me for the Chambly family. He said, Hear, O Chambly family, the Lord our God is one. The Lord is one. We will love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all of our strength and with all of our soul. These commandments are for you, Chamblies. They are to constantly be on your hearts and on your lips. Todd and Joy, impress them to your children and any children that come into your home or into your van. Thank you for the ministry of the van. Todd and Joy, talk about them when you're driving to and from school. When you're driving to that softball tournament, when you're driving to the voice lessons, when you're driving to football practice 3 times a week, when you get to that, when they get that grade that they don't like, when they get that teacher they don't like, when they have that instance with that child, that friend that is not nice, talk about it. In all the seasons of parenting, in the highs and lows, talk about me. When your kids get up and when they go to bed, tell them about me. Let the Chambly hands be evidence that your heart agrees and you walk according to these commands. Line up your thoughts with these commands. Write them on the doors. Let these commandments be lived out in your homes and seen in your home. Let these commandments be seen in your children's rooms and in the music that they listen to. Let these commands be seen and heard in the shows you allow them to watch. May the Chambly home be established and founded in the Lord our God. Now, verse 7, I told you to underline that word impress. Impress them on your children. This word in its original Hebrew, it is a verb. Remember, engrafting is something Jesus does. Rooting is something we do. Impress is a verb. It's something you have to do. It's a verb. It's an action word. And it means to wet. And I love it. It's not W-E-T. It is W-H-E-T. And I'm going to tell you what that means. Look what that means right there, y'all. To stimulate an appetite for. To sharpen. God needs us, parents, to whet our children's appetites with the Word of God. If you give a baby, the first time you give them food, if you give them sweets, what do they want? You give them sweet potatoes first, right? Or carrots, or spinach. Because if you give them bananas and apples, guess what they're going to want? You wet your baby's appetite with Jesus. I've said it before. I did this early on. I had a great mentor. And the music that my teenager now listens to, I'm telling you, it is only Jesus, because I fed her his music from little. And now I have a 15-year-old. I fed her Little House on the Prairie. I fed them that. And guess what? I went downstairs just the other night. She had one of her only nights that she ever has a break. She had a like 30-minute break. And guess what she was watching? Little House on the Prairie. 15, almost 15. Whet their appetite with the things of God so that they will crave the things of God. It makes sense. Does it not? How many of you, when you give up Coke, you don't ever want Coke again? I know, Cassie, that's your thing. Sweet tea, we cannot. You don't want it anymore because your appetite has changed. God needs us to whet our children's appetites, giving them the commands of the one true God. And as we root them in this word, as we build them upon him, he's going to create and stimulate an appetite for him. And listen, moms, I believe it's not just to know his commands. As you do your part in rooting and giving them him, I believe he is going to give them a desire to obey his commands. And you believe it whether you see it or not. You're praying self-control over that three-year-old. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to get way worse. But you keep praying that word over him or her. And at some point, God's word will pierce and it will work. His word will not return void. Are you motivated yet? I believe that this word that we're giving them, that we're impressing on them, is going to sharpen them. And it's going to pierce through their flesh. Oh, man. Pierce through their flesh. It's going to pierce through the darkness of this culture whose goal is to smother and sniff out their light. That's the goal. The enemy's coming after your kids. If no one has ever told you that, I don't mean to scare you, but I'm being honest with you. The enemy is coming after your kids, and he does not fight fair. But let me tell you something. He's got to go through me to get to them. You stand up to him, mom. Greater is he that is in you. Are you engrafted in? Because if you are engrafted in, then the person of Jesus lives in you. And guess what? Every demon needs to shudder when they see a mama coming. You pray over that baby. You pierce the darkness with the light of Jesus. Moms with Swords is going to motivate you every week. Some people describe it as just a little shot. We are not a church. We are not a church. But we are going to motivate you every Thursday. They say it's like a little shot. It's like your shot for the week. Again, I just want to set you ablaze on a Thursday. I want to just set a fire on you. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to motivate you when you can't motivate yourself. Because sometimes you just can't. Sometimes you're going to get here and you're going to say, Joy, I got here, but I didn't want to be here. But I'm here. And guess what? That sister, that friend beside you is going to motivate you. Is going to help you. That's what differentiates Moms with Swords. There's so many wonderful women's Bible studies and things for women. Wonderful. But this is just for mamas. Because look, that lady beside you knows that you've been up all night with that sick baby. Or that baby that just won't sleep in his own bed. Every one of us are going through the same thing. I had a teenage tantrum last night. Really? You think a three-year-old tantrum is bad? Oh, my Lord. I expected it, though, last night, right? Before I'm about ready to get here. Teenage tantrum. Tears. Y'all just don't understand. You just don't understand. We talked about it in church. Y'all just don't understand how hard it is. And I am so not an emotional mama. You will know that about me. I don't like crying. So I have to really help myself. Ask the Holy Spirit to help me. But these people around you, they know this is what makes Moms with Swords not better, just unique, because you are surrounded by nursing mamas. You're surrounded by mamas who are in the same season. Some moms that are well ahead of you, which we need those moms. And guess what? There's a lot of mamas that are behind you that are looking to you. What do they see? a stressed out mom, a mom that's just ready to give up, a mom that complains all the time? Or do they see a mom that in spite of all the messes, in spite of all the tantrums, in spite of all the sleepless nights, the teenage hormones, the preteen hormones, that mama stands ready and says, I'm going to impress this word on my babies whether I feel like it or not. That's what we're going to do here at Moms with Swords. I want everyone to stand up as we close. Some of you were brought here by friends, but like I said earlier, you were brought here by the Holy Spirit. But now you've got an army. Do you see this? This army, and it keeps building. And I believe God's just going to keep building it and building it for his kingdom purposes. You've got an army of mamas around you, so guess what? You have no excuse. You're stressed out. You're tired. Phone a friend. Phone Jesus first, then phone a friend and say, you need to pray for me because I'm about to kill this child. That's what we're for. Your huddle leaders, your huddles, that's what they're there for. This is what needs to happen. How many of you know so many mamas that are laying, they're laying down because they're so beat down? This right here is what needs to happen. Mamas everywhere, standing up. Standing up, not backing down. Standing up, telling culture, you're going to have to go through me. Telling the darkness, you're going to have to go through me. Telling the enemy himself, you're going to have to go through me to get to him. Because I'm standing. I am motivated. I am enthusiastic about this charge of being a mother. I get to be. You're not going to always want to be, and I'm not saying that. Listen, I didn't want to be last night. You're not always going to want to be, but listen, you get to be. And let that get to be trump that have to, that want to be, because sometimes you're just not going to want to. But God has given you a holy charge. The Jewish people believed there was power in the spoken word of God. I believe there's power in standing when you don't feel like standing. I read a book this summer by Bob Sorge. It's called The Secrets of the Secret Place, and it has rocked my world. And he has a chapter on standing. And I just felt the Lord tell me as I was writing out this teaching that he wanted me to put this into this teaching. As sisters, in this fight of mothering, because it is a fight, we're going to have to stand. So I want us to read this. Ann's going to put it on the screen. And I just want us to read this out loud for us to hear and for the enemy to hear. You've come here. Now let's stand ready. Let's stand ready. Let's take action. Let's build into our children. Let's read this. Today, I am choosing to stand despite the warfare, to stand despite the resistance, to stand despite the hassles, to stand despite the weariness, to stand despite the distresses, to stand despite the temptations, to stand despite personal failure and collapse, to stand despite the grief, to stand despite the loneliness, to stand even when chained, just stand. Now here's the good news. To stand because of the cross, to stand because of the Lamb, to stand because of his affections, to stand because of his mighty power within, to stand because of fountains of living water flowing up from the innermost being, to stand because of his eternal purpose, to stand because of his everlasting mercies. To stand because of his love. Mom, are you motivated yet? Will you stand together? Will you stand? Now, some of you, you're going to hear this also over these next 9 weeks. We have a prayer team. After the teaching every week, there are going to be prayer team members or either somebody with this tank on that you can go and pray with. We're going to have worship music. This is not about any kind of schedule or any kind of agenda. This is about Jesus and what he has for you. So if you need prayer, you go to these women that are back here ready to pray for you. And listen to me. If you don't know if you are engrafted in, please do not leave here until you are sure. If you have not asked for that blood to be applied to your charred, sin-sick heart, it would be a privilege for us to pray with you. Once you are engrafted in, you are in the vine and you may abide in Jesus. But if you are not sure if you are engrafted in, would you please not leave here until you know? We're going to give many opportunities this session for that. But if you just need prayer, if it's hard for you to stand, would you go find somebody to pray with you? And here's some homework for you over the next 9 weeks. Look, we only got 9 weeks left. You can make 9 weeks, right? I didn't offend you that bad. 9 weeks. Over the next 9 weeks, I would love for you to take Deuteronomy 6 and come up with your own version for your family. However God would have you do it, those verses 4-9, that creed, that Shema, the spoken word of God, however it would fit in your family, would you take it and would you write something out, maybe share it in your huddles, maybe share it with your husband, or not share it at all, just let the Lord give it to you and just keep it for you. And then at some point, maybe he'll ask you to speak it over your children. But over the next 9 weeks, I would love for you to do that. Tell me, email it to me, Facebook it to me. Just make it personal to your family. Let's decide today, moms, that we're going to stand together and we're going to impress this word to our children so that they can be dangerous for their generation. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the spoken word of God. I thank you for your word that is living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it goes and it divides and it goes down to every secret place. Father, so many of us have secret places that your word has not yet been applied to. God, would you allow us today to let that word apply to every part? God, we're standing here as a testimony, Father. Some of us are just standing because they were told to stand. But God, I pray that you would give them a holy urgency to understand what it means to stand as a mother. To understand that you will allow them, you will help them, you will infuse them to stand when they can't stand up on their own. As you live and dwell among us, God, in us, you allow us to stand when we don't want to stand. So God, would you give us the motivation to stand because of the cross, because of Jesus, and because of what he did for us, we can stand. God, and if there be anybody here that does not yet know you, that has not yet been engrafted in, God, would you prick them? Would you, God, not allow them to move from this spot until they go and pray and ask you to apply your blood to their burns? Jesus, be Lord over this ministry. Jesus, be Lord over our children. Jesus, be Lord over our families. Have your way, Holy Spirit, for this is your time. In Jesus' name, amen.